7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Polish and NATO air defenses scrambling overnight as it appears Russia sent drones into Poland's airspace. They were shot down with the help of NATO forces. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio says many European leaders think it's Russia's attempt at escalating the war in Ukraine. At the foreign desk, here's ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
Top officials here in Europe calling this the biggest violation of NATO airspace by Russia since the war in Ukraine began. And for the first time, Poland, a key NATO ally of the U.S., shooting down Russian drones breaching its airspace, calling some of those drones a direct threat.
Israel is condemning the comments made by the president of the European Commission earlier today about suspending all payments to Israel over the country's conduct in Gaza, describing them as regrettable. Hamas says only low-level leaders were killed in Israel's targeted attack on Hamas headquarters in Doha. And a federal court ruling Fed Governor Lisa Cook can remain in her position while she fights President Trump's firings. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Families at Madison West High School say students with disabilities were unfairly cut from the swim team. Asha Shukla is a senior at Madison West High School. She has Down syndrome. She's been on the swim team for 2 years as an exhibition swimmer. That means because of her disability, she's a member of the team just with some modifications. She has a reduced practice schedule and doesn't score points for the team when they compete. This year, the program has grown and multiple swimmers were cut from the team, including Asha. Her parents say school officials told them Asha would have to try out for a spot with no accommodations for her disability. Supporters flooded a school board meeting Monday night for a chance to talk directly to school board members. Here's part of what Asha herself had to say.
I am fast. I hold all city records and pool records across Madison. Being part of a team makes me feel like I am part of something bigger than me, a community.
The families say another student with disabilities was excluded too. Aurelia Bergstrom is a freshman at West this year. Her dad, Charlie Bergstrom.
There's a silent, nefarious message being sent to all kids that those with disabilities are less than, potentially reversing all the work that the district, the staff at West in particular, that Coach Elmaker has done to foster a culture that's actually in line with the stated goals of the district.
A spokesperson for the district released a statement to multiple outlets saying, quote, "The Madison Metropolitan School District is deeply committed to ensuring that all students have access to safe, inclusive, and welcoming opportunities in our schools. We understand the importance of athletics and co-curricular programs to the educational experience and encourage involvement to the greatest extent possible," end quote. The families are asking the district to reverse course and let the girls back on the team. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball this afternoon, where the Rangers host the Brewers to wrap up their three-game series in Arlington, Texas. The Rangers winning again last night, 5-4, thanks to another great performance by their rookie center fielder, Michael Hellman. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Take your hat off to Texas. They made great defensive plays. I mean, kid in center field, I think he changed the game. Runs down Durbin's ball and then robs a home run from Turang.
NFL, the Packers signed Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million. They host the Washington Commanders tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers play at number 19th ranked Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Wisconsin has not beat a ranked team on the road in 4 years.
We hear the noise. We try and block it out as much as we can, but we hear it. So just being able to go out there and prove ourselves right. You know, we work just as hard as anyone else, if not harder, and we're excited for our opportunity to show that.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe a few sprinkles in the morning. Otherwise, partly sunny skies can be expected. Another nice September day with highs in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy skies expected tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A bit summery on Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with highs near 80 degrees. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Shop Furlow Mattress during our Labor Day sale. It's our biggest sale of the season. Get a free box spring with a mattress purchase. Or upgrade to an adjustable base and save even more. At Furlow, every mattress we make is factory direct and custom made locally for you. And it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. Don't fall for the other guy's mattress gimmicks. Furlow has no middleman, so you'll get the comfort you want and save a whole lot of money. American made, locally crafted. Furlow.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
WMDX Madison, where biking in the snow is a personality trait.
Good morning, Madison. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX. It's time for the John and Gordy Morning Show.
All right. That's good. We're here.
Gordy Radio Show.
Yes.
On WMDX.
Okay. Good morning.
Woo.
That's John Peterson. Yes. I'm Gordy Young. Dominic Lee is in the air chair in the producer booth checking things out. Look at the rain coming down on State Street now.
Yeah.
Getting a brief shower here this morning off and on, and then that should clear out for a little bit of sunshine mixed in with some clouds, high in the low 70s today, right now 54.
And a big thank you from Catherine, who texted us and said, hi, John and Gordy. Wanted to thank you for the great meetup and tour at Downdrin Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say it.
Downdrin's Distillery.
There you go. You've been saying it enough over there on the other side of the table.
Yeah.
Downdrin's Distillery last Saturday had a great time, and that is Catherine in Madison.
It's not our Catherine.
No.
It's not our station manager, program director, Catherine.
Same area code, but yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, we had a great turnout there. It was a lot of fun. We'll have to do that again sometime. Downdrin's Distillery. Great place.
Yeah, they have alcohol-free stuff as well. So
yes.
You might want to check that out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times there.
Coming
up in about a half hour, we'll talk to Mike McCabe. He's got a new Substack blog out there, and we'll talk to him about that.
All right. Well, let's talk about the jobs report here.
Oh, yeah. How are things going in
well,
the unemployment line?
In the last year, it didn't work out real well.
Oh.
Firing at the BLS commissioner because you don't like the results of the job data. Well, you know, that's one thing that you can do, I guess. But, you know, it creates a lot of distrust in the data. So, anyway, you know, what they found out after the jobs report came out, you know, it's a year-long job report, so they had to readjust it, and it went downward by 911,000 jobs, and that's pretty big. And that happened mostly on the Biden side of the presidency.
Yeah,
this is MSNBC's Katie Tour talking about that. Let's listen to cut 47.
All right.
Sorry, give me a sec.
For sure. Stand by. Here we go.
It's being called the biggest revision on record. Between April 2024 and March 2025, the U.S. labor market created 911,000 fewer jobs than previously reported. The change is the latest warning sign about a weakening economy, and we are still waiting for the expected impact of President Trump's policies on tariffs, immigration, and spending. So how much worse could it get? Joining us now, U.S. National Editor for the Financial Times, Ed Luce. Okay, so 911,000 fewer jobs, nearly a million. It is a big revision, but as was pointed out to me last hour by Justin Wolfers, percentage-wise, it is still not a giant, giant, giant number. percentage-wise, the unemployment number really isn't changing. That being said, Ed Luce, is this portending a change in our economic status? Jamie Dimon today said this is just another indication that the economy is weakening.
Yes, I think it very clearly portends a growing sort of weakness in the U.S. economy, and the jobs market is a very important indicator of that. I mean, remember, we did also have downward revisions to jobs growth earlier this summer for the jobs numbers that have come since March. So although this trend dates right back into the last year of the Biden administration, and might well explain a bit more of the sort of voter dissatisfaction than some people anticipated in November. This is clearly a long-term sort of slowdown in the U.S. economy, which recent actions are only making worse. The last month of jobs growth was only 29,000. Then the economy could well actually be having net job losses as we speak. That's not a good sign.
That's right.
Not a good sign.
No. So the trend is downward.
Yeah.
Former VA Republican Congressman Denver Riggleman talked about how his businesses are hurting. He's got a distillery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's listen to Cut 48 here.
You know, there's even personal examples. You know, I own distilleries, not only AI companies, but I own distilleries. We just got a 50% tariff notice for glass and some of the other things that we use to do bottling on our lines. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been trying to figure out what do you do, right? Do you actually raise prices? Do we limit production? What do we do with bottles? Do we forward lean and get more bottles, right? When I talk about pallets, I'm talking thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars in added costs for our companies. I can't imagine what it's doing to larger manufacturers if you go downstream on tariffs. The economy is the single biggest thing here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I can tell you that, especially with the job losses up north with government jobs and contractor jobs, and you're seeing sort of these arbitrary cuts coming down right through DOGE and through other mechanisms. So for right now, I think the economy is not in a great place. If you look at the revised June numbers going down, only 22,000 jobs added this month. The messaging, I think, from, you know, Democrats and independents could be simply, you know, this is a failed experiment in the first 8 months, and there has to be a course correction.
That's right. Mm. There you go. You know, it's amazing to, you know, take your theory of tariffs like Trump is doing and then experiment on the entire country.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Certainly. And see if it affects the global economy, too.
see what happens. Out, yeah, worldwide.
You know, maybe you should have worked it out a little bit better ahead of time, a little workshopping may have helped to plan. But,
that's right.
Yeah.
Toss it around the table, see what happens. Anybody else got suggestions if this doesn't work out?
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they've got alternatives, too, if the Supreme Court shoots down Trump's tariffs.
Well, that's right. It's going to the Supreme Court now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no surprise there. They'll probably approve everything. They have approved everything.
Of course.
Coney Barrett has basically come out with a book, and she's hitting the interview circuit now.
Right.
So Amy Coney Barrett is out there.
Yeah.
And
from Notre Dame.
She's talking it up, you know. And I got to say this. I watched the interview with Bret Baier on Fox News.
Oh, really?
And he had some really, really good questions.
Oh.
The only question he didn't ask, and, you know, was just begging to ask the question, is how could you have given the president immunity? Where in the Constitution did you pull that rabbit out of your hat? Come on. Oh, boy. All right. Well, anyway, let's get to part of that. And this is Baier bringing up the Dobbs abortion decision, all right? And this is Coney Barrett on her process.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
You spend some time in the book discussing the Dobbs decision and that overturned Roe v. Wade and the precedent ending the nationwide constitutional right to abortion, as it's so called. You write that the court's role is to respect the choices that the people have agreed upon, not to tell them what they should agree to.
Yes. So the court's role, and essentially what the court said in Dobbs, was not that we were taking away a right, but that, as properly interpreted, the Constitution did not protect that right. That it's one left, like virtually every question, to the democratic process. That's because the court, in interpreting the Constitution is our fundamental document. It's the super law. It trumps every other law. And it represents our fundamental commitments as a people that we have agreed to. And that's a product of the democratic process. That's not a product of what the court imposes on the democratic process.
Do you think that decision is misunderstood broadly?
I do. Dobbs did not say that abortion is illegal. Dobbs didn't weigh in on that question. Dobbs said it belongs to the political process. And, you know, it's been thrown to the political process, and the states have been working it out.
I mean, in fact, you write, getting ahead of the American people came at a cost.
Yes. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was herself a supporter of abortion rights, pointed that out. I mean, when the court decided Roe, the country was already moving in a direction of liberalization of abortion laws. But the court then was in the business of making a lot of pretty fine-grained decisions about abortion regulations that Dobbs held belonged to the political process.
Do you see the passion and how did that affect you, all of the fallout from that case in particular?
I think the fallout from that case drove home a point that I make in, I think it's chapter 2 of the book, about the costs of the commission and the oath. You know, you make decisions that are unpopular and you have to face what comes, right? So we don't expect that we will be popular, and sometimes that can be difficult to be subject of public criticism, but that's the cost of the commission.
In your nomination hearing in the Senate, Senator Dianne Feinstein said this.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
That's right. And that is a really good point. Leaving it up to the political process has a very troubling implication. You know, because this affects everybody in the country. And I think the Supreme Court justices forget that their decisions affects everybody. If it affects everybody in the country, they should have some kind of input on this.
Yeah.
And you just don't leave it up to the democratic process, the political process, because then it'll be manipulated. And some people will win and some people will lose. Yeah. That's the bad part of it. It's a privacy issue, and that's why they passed it in the first place. Roe v. Wade. Privacy. I think it should have been passed on a religious basis. Mm. If you don't like it, and it's always based on religion, then okay, you don't have to have it. But that's why it's a freedom issue. It's a First Amendment issue. I personally just can't believe that she is okay with the turmoil that's going on in the country right now, women losing their lives because of this. And, well, you know, some people win, some people lose. It's a political process. See you later.
That kicks it back to the states. It just makes it more confusing for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and creates more problems.
All right. She had an opinion on birthright citizenship as well. I don't think we have time for that one.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, we do. Let's play it.
All right.
In June, ruling on one of those cases, Trump v. Casa on birthright citizenship, you wrote this. Federal courts do not exercise general oversight of the executive branch. They resolve cases and controversies consistent with the authority Congress has given them. When a court concludes that the executive branch has acted unlawfully, the answer is not for the court to exceed its power to. Some of your colleagues, including Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, said that reasoning was a, quote, existential threat to the rule of law. I mean, that obviously got a lot of attention, that whole back and forth.
Sure, but I do believe that. I think the judiciary needs to stay in its lane.
Stay in its lane. Isn't that the craziest thought ever? In other words, the judiciary throughout the entire country should stay in its lane. What does that mean? They can't make a judgment if it's in their court?
Apparently not.
That is what it means. Very strange. This is how she's selling her book. Mm-hmm. Kamala's coming out with her book, too. So
yes,
we'll probably have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
I have another part of this that we don't have time for right now, but we'll get to it right after the break.
All right. Yeah, and we'll also check in with WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot, get an update on the weather, and more of your phone calls. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a few minutes here on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
WMDX Madison, where biking in the snow is a personality trait.
This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. If you're having trouble with your hearing, do something about it. Talk with the good folks at Madison Hearing Aid Center. They're at 4706 Cottage Grove Road. Call them and make an appointment at 608-249-4077. You can take an initial hearing test online at madisonhearingaidcenter.com. Don't let your hearing loss frustrate you anymore. They help John and Gordy hear better, and they can help you too. Madison Hearing Aid Center.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
If you love animals and want to help in Dane County, shop, donate, or volunteer at one of Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores. They sell gently used and new clothes, home goods, toys, furniture, and more. All proceeds support the comfort and care of animals in need. Dane County Humane Society thrift stores. Shop Thrift Store West on Watts Road and Thrift Store East on High Crossing Boulevard. Visit giveshelter.org/thrift to learn more.
This portion of John and Gordy is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. The Labor Day sale continues. Get a free box or platform foundation with your mattress purchase or upgrade to an adjustable base during the Labor Day sale through September. Verlo Mattress, East and West in Madison. Go to verlo.com.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, it's John and Gordy. We've got a double extra large waiting for Troy. Is that correct? We finally got one for Troy.
T-shirt? Yeah. I think so.
One for him, so just to let him know.
All right. Very good. Well, let's find out what's going on weather-wise here. And to do that, we'll check in with WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good, even though it's a damp and dreary one to start. How about you guys?
Well, we've got a little shower out there.
Yeah, some sprinkles, some showers happening here just in the last few minutes. So what can we expect the rest of the day? Is this going to hang with us or what?
So right now you have a front parked right over you. So those little sprinkles staying there for a few hours on and off. Nothing major, though. I think by like 2-3 o'clock, the chances for rain will kick on out of that area. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll start to see the clouds start to clear at that point. But overall, a mostly cloudy kind of day today. Highs in those mid-60s, but nothing major, nothing severe. No heavy downpours. That all happened up north yesterday. It's kind of fizzling out as it sits over you. And then by tomorrow, summer's here. So, yay!
Really? Yeah, warm weather's back.
It's gonna warm up again, huh?
Yeah, that's great. Okay. That's great.
Is. I told y'all, I think a week or two ago, to take PTO. If you're a summer lover, now was the time to do it going into next week. And it's really happening. So tomorrow we're going to hit 80 degrees. It's going to be sunny, calm, perfect day. A little bit of that mugginess is going to start to seep in for Friday. Highs in the mid 80s, still sunny out there. Maybe a chance of rain overnight Friday into early Saturday morning. That kicks out. we get hot and humid. Near 90 degrees on Saturday is what it's going to be feeling like. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Kicking the air conditioning again, huh? Okay.
All right.
Yep, yep. And that's going to stay there all weekend and into next week, too.
So. Wow. All right. Return to summertime. Okay.
Promises, promises.
Right? Okay. Bring the shorts back out.
Yep.
I like it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brittany.
Brittany, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Brittany Merlot, our WMDX meteorologist.
We're talking about Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
Her new book. And she's out doing interviews. She did an interview on Fox News with Bret Baier and said, you know, Dobbs, abortion, hey, that's a political process, which is turning out really well, Barrett. Thank you very much. But she also wants us to think nothing is wrong. Don't worry about what we're doing here. Don't worry about what you're seeing we're doing. Just, you know, think we've got control.
Really? Okay.
But, you know, on Chris Hayes the other night, Sherrilyn Ifill had a few opinions about this, some, you know, editorial commentary, and I thought this was really interesting stuff. So let's listen to Sherrilyn.
To offer a rationale, but I want to get your reaction to what Justice Kavanaugh said about these questionings we've caught on tape. The government sometimes makes brief investigative stops to check the immigration status of people. If the officers learn the individual they stop is a U.S. citizen or otherwise lawfully in the United States, they promptly let the individual go. You think that's a factually accurate characterization of what's been happening?
It is not. It is not. It sounds like something that was, I said, downloaded from a DHS website. There is plenty of testimony in this case in declarations of individuals who describe the environment. And, of course, we've seen it with our own eyes. Let's just set the table here, Chris. This suit is brought by United States citizens who are Latino or who work in those environments that Justice Kavanaugh has identified that DHS has targeted. So these are United States citizens who are describing their fear, of being taken into custody. And we have all seen with our own eyes what these ICE raids look like. There is not a gentle inquiry. He says that if it is determined that they are a U.S. citizen, the ICE officer promptly releases the individual. We have seen cases in which the colleagues of individuals who have been grabbed by ICE are telling ICE, this person is here legally, or this person is a U.S. citizen. And we have seen U.S. citizens detained in ICE custody for up to 3 months. So we understand that what he is saying is some sanitized, fantastical version of what these stops look like. And it's so shocking because, of course, we're watching these raids happen on television. We're seeing it online. We're seeing what they look like. Mm-hmm. And we basically have a Supreme Court justice who's offering this fantasy that we are all supposed to go along with because the Supreme Court is the 800-pound gorilla, and who's going to check them? But it is really shocking. We just had the situation this past weekend of the raid on the EV battery plant in Georgia, where South Korean nationals who were here legally, engineers, were taken into ICE custody, shackled about their waist, their legs, handcuffed, and taken into ICE custody. Did that sound like a brief moment and an inquiry as to whether they were here legally and then a prompt release? No. The South Korean government had to negotiate their release with the United States. So this is a justice who's describing something that patently is not true and is contrary to the evidence and contrary to the evidence that was pulled in and evaluated by the district court. And then he says, let me tell you who the judiciary is. We're not allowed to put our finger on the scale for one policy or another. It's a gaslighting that I find so appalling.
Yeah.
And for Amy Coney Barrett to say we're not in a constitutional crisis means that she is essentially calling her three colleagues, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan, all of whom have described the critical constitutional consequences of the way this conservative majority is behaving as rising to the level of constitutional dimension. They are profoundly concerned about our democracy. So even to dismiss it in the way she did in her book talk is disrespectful of her colleagues. There's something really unfortunate, frightening, scary going on the Supreme Court right now. And part of what they are doing is trying to pretend that we are not seeing what we are seeing. And fortunately, we have three justices who know them, who sit in those rooms with them, who are prepared to tell us what is going on.
Yeah, that's well said. We are seeing what we are seeing.
That is amazing stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think she brought, she really made the point there about the Supreme Court and how out of hand they are.
Out of touch, too. Yeah, no doubt. 29 past the hour when we return after the Midwest Food and Farm Report. Mike McCabe joins us on WMDX.
Madison, Wisconsin. More lakes, more bikes, better radio. WMDX.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Oh, this weather may be ideal for you and I and our afternoon strolls, but I'll tell you what, there are some Wisconsin crops in jeopardy. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Details about one of those crops next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Amy Aragone, who is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, is struggling with this beautiful weather. She says their early Edelweiss has already been picked, but later grapes are struggling in September because of the lack of heat.
Yeah, we're not happy about it at all. We have five varieties that we grow. We have one variety, Edelweiss, that ripens usually in August, really early every year. The other four, we still need September heat to ripen that fruit. So we are in the phase right now where we're taking sugar readings pretty often, and my sugars are just sitting. They're not moving up at all because I just don't have the heat right now.
Amy Aragone, she is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, and she's struggling with this cool September weather. She says she oversees 6 acres and 3,000 vines. She says the longer the fruit have to remain on those vines, the more damage from things like birds, bees, and disease they could risk. Other crops around Wisconsin doing a little bit better. Those updates next.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The drier weather has allowed Wisconsin farmers to move forward with the corn silage harvest. As of Sunday, about 10% of that crop already harvested. 82% of our corn is called good to excellent. Soybeans have declined a little bit this week, about 81% called good to excellent. But this cooler weather is ideal for our Wisconsin potato crop. Right now, about 40% of our potatoes have already been dug. 89% of that crop called good to excellent. Want more farm news? Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com and you'll find it there. There's your food news update. I'm PM Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe a few sprinkles in the morning. Otherwise, partly sunny skies can be expected. Another nice September day with highs in the mid-70s. Partly cloudy skies expected tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A bit summery on Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with highs near 80 degrees. Current temperature is 54.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes, called Sen Sen,
kind of
tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Beachwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35 and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Where the action is, WMDX 92.7. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young in the morning with Dom at the controls.
It is 7:35, some clouds, a few scattered showers this morning, and we'll see some of that off and on today, and highs in the upper 60s or low 70s, still in the mid-50s this morning. Mike McCabe joins us now, and we'll get to Mike in just a moment. I want to remind you, you can have a chance to win a $50 gift card from Sugar River Pizza. You could have dinner on Sugar River Pizza and WMDX. It's all to help celebrate John and Gordy being nominated for Best of Madison along with Sugar River Pizza. Yes, those nominations
nominated
will be...
as the Best of Madison, right?
Yes.
That's
Best of Madison radio
I'm sure
team.
That we won.
You're sure that we won?
Yeah,
we won't know until October 1st, I believe. But we will find out if we even made
the... won right away and stop.
Get it over with.
We're in the top six. So we don't know if we made it to the top three till October 1st.
But if we say we won, then, you know.
Are you declaring that we won?
We actually get the credit until we find out for sure.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, if you'd like to get a $50 gift card from Sugar River Pizza, enter our contest. We do it every week. Just go to WMDXradio.com, click on the banner that says Sugar River Pizza, win your dinner. Okay? Very good. We do it weekly, and then we throw out all the entries and start all over again on Monday.
That's exactly how we do it. Thank you, Gordy.
Okay. Should I explain that some more? People enter, and then... Okay.
Well, you know, all those job applicants out there waiting to get in to do this for us.
Okay.
Now they know what to say.
Let's get to Mike McCabe. He's waiting patiently here on the other side of the table. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Hey, guys.
Good to see you.
Yeah. All right. We had a question for Matt Rothschild, who was one of the individuals who took control of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
He was my successor. Yeah.
Yes. He was very adamant about not gerrymandering.
Uh-huh.
All right. And I disagreed with him, but I was thinking about it later on, just how stable that is, how you have a belief system and you stay with it. You don't deviate because somebody else is doing something else, even though they may gain an advantage by gerrymandering their states and eliminating the possibility of even a good election for Democrats from taking control of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So what say you?
Quote Todd Alba.
As Todd Alba would say. What say you? Where do you fall on gerrymandering because the Republican states are doing it?
Well, I spent decades working on redistricting reform and trying to prevent gerrymandering.
Well, you know, the Democrats want to stop gerrymandering. We want an independent body to do that for us, right?
Well, I don't think you can go so far as to say Democrats want that. Some do, and some states have gone so far as to put in place these kinds
of
laws. But I couldn't get Wisconsin Democrats to support nonpartisan redistricting.
Really? At the time.
After the 2008 election, as the 2008 elections played out, the Democrats gained control in Wisconsin of both houses of our state legislature and the governor's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working for nonpartisan redistricting reform then, as I had for, you know, more than a decade. And I couldn't get them to do it. Because I think they felt like if they had control of the legislature and the governor's office in 2010, they could gerrymander the hell out of the state. And, of course, Scott Walker won the 2010 election, and Republicans flipped both houses of the legislature, gained total control, and they did do an extreme gerrymander of Wisconsin's legislative districts and cemented Republican control for well over a decade.
So Democrats had a chance.
They had a chance to do it right, and they chose not to. And I was told, I was told by Democratic senators and representatives, this is a legislative prerogative. This is this is our responsibility under the Constitution. We're not going to hand it off to some commission or some other panel to do the redistricting. But bottom line is they had control of the legislature and the governor's office and thought that they could gain an ongoing advantage. So this is something that's been practiced by both parties over the years. Mm-hmm. There have been some Democrats in some states that have put in place independent commissions or other kinds of ways of doing nonpartisan redistricting. And now what you see is a whole bunch of Republican states wanting to do this, you know, not once a decade, but even in between the census that it's done every decade. They want to do it just for partisan advantage in the short term. And I get where Matt's coming from, because if you decide, if somebody commits an evil and then you decide to join that, you're really taking yourself, you're taking your own values and flushing them down the toilet. And I understand that.
I do too.
But what Matt says and what I say doesn't amount to a hill of beans at this point, because what you've got is this redistricting war going on across the country. And I think there are going to be, Democratic controlled states that will join in this as well. I think in the end, voters lose. Because what you're going to have is a whole bunch of states where voters won't have a legitimate choice about whether to elect Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah.
It's either going to be a Republican state, and that's going to be preordained, or it's going to be a Democratic state, and that's going to be every bit as much preordained. And voters are going to lose power. And I don't think it's a great thing when voters end up losing power, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Mm. Oh, that's a nice way of framing it. Yeah, the voters lose, actually.
Yeah, the politicians are going to win, and the voters are going to lose. So that's where we're headed. And I don't know if it matters what Matt and I say, but that's where we're headed. And I think it's really unfortunate. And I hope that once this current, this current fight ends, that we get back to the point where we can put voters back in a more powerful position.
Yeah.
At some point.
All right.
But it's going to take years.
Mm.
Well, okay, that's one element of what the Democrats could do to counter the Republicans at this point. In just a moment, we're going to take a call first, but in just a moment, I want to talk to you about shutting the government down. It's another ploy that the Democrats are thinking about doing, all right? But first, let's go to the phones. We have Catherine Lake, our program director.
Good morning, Catherine.
We have to take the call.
Jesus! Thank you for staying on gerrymandering for just one more second. I'm begging you now, Mike and John and Gordy, please give me, for my daughter in the car here, a 101 on gerrymandering. Remind us, because to my ear and memory, gerrymandering is basically just legalized segregation, it feels like. But I know that's not quite right, and I just wanted to have a 101 reminder on why this is not good, why it is the evil that we should not be joining the Republicans in doing.
Well, okay.
Okay, there you have it.
Well, sometimes it does have, it can have a really vicious racial impact. You can draw districts that dilute racial minority voting power to the point where they could never elect somebody of their own race to represent them. Mm-hmm. You can draw districts like that. But it has a broader impact. It's not just a racial impact. You can draw a district that either packs a whole bunch of the opposition party's voters into a single district, so they get one district, but then you dilute their power to such a great extent that your party controls every other district, and you maintain your majorities. Or you can crack that minority voting power and disperse it throughout a whole bunch of districts, so that they can never get to 50% in any district. Hmm. And that sometimes has a really vicious racial effect because you basically make sure that African Americans can never have African American representation, or Latino voters can never have Latino representation. But even more broadly, you can do it so that a Democratic voter never has an opportunity to have any hope of having a Democratic representative, or somewhere else, a Republican voter will never have a hope of having Republican representation. Right. You can design the district so that you get the outcome you want. And that's what politicians do. They tailor make these districts to maintain their own control.
So what you're saying is then throw out voting completely.
It weakens the power of voters.
Yeah, it does.
It leaves them without much hope of getting the kind of representation that they want. And it makes election results preordained. That's what's wrong about it. Mm. Now, when one side decides to do it nationally, all across the country, you can expect the other party's going to fight back.
Yes,
I get that. You know, but really, when we have this kind of nuclear war between the two parties using this device, you know, which is all about political power. We're going to end up with a whole bunch of rubble all across the country when it comes to voters' ability to have a say.
Talking to Substack blogger Mike McCabe. And so, Mike, how does this play into the Electoral College? I mean, the Electoral College seems to be in place, and we can't do anything to change it without changing the Constitution. It seems like people in the smaller states are insignificant. You know, it's all about the big states. It's all about
The Electoral College was designed by the framers of our Constitution because they feared that more populous states would have too much control, and they wanted the smaller, more rural states to have more of a say.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to get a significant number of smaller, less populated, more rural states to go along with a constitutional amendment to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that dilutes the power of the voter. It means that one voter's vote is more valuable than another voter's vote, which is
right.
You know, and so I think we should vote for president based on popular vote. Whoever gets mm-hmm. the most votes should become president.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
Yes.
It's who wins enough states to get the most electoral votes. That's what elects the president.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lose the popular vote and win the presidency. And we've seen that happen now, what, three times?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know,
in our lifetime, we've seen it three times.
Right. In the last few decades.
Came across here that the charges have been dropped against the false electors case in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that insane? Wow. I mean, Michigan was egregious.
It's been a tough few years for voters, I'll tell you that. And you know, when it just comes down to voter power, there has been an awful lot of effort to weaken the power of the voter. And that's because there are people who want power but aren't confident that they can actually convince people that they should be in power.
Right.
But they want it anyway. So they go to great lengths to try to weaken the power of voters.
Well, you know, we're having a little trouble, you know, with gerrymandering now, and all the red states are going through with it. And I haven't really heard much about the blue states, their progress,
some
or what
do
they're
it.
Doing.
Yeah, some will do it. Certainly California is going that way.
But we'll see which way they go on that. There's another option, of course, and that is shutting down the government, doing something. A lot of people are making an argument that, you know, why should we fund this particular government? And the arguments I've heard mostly are from the right. And that is that it didn't work out for the Republicans. So, you know, if you're a Democrat, don't do what they did. We have Ezra Klein here and his opinion on it. It's a little less than 2 minutes.
We can play that when we come back.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll continue our conversation with Mike McCabe. And if you would like to chime in, you can give us a call, 608-879-8255. More of John and Gordy on WMDX right around the corner.
Madison, Wisconsin. More lakes, more bikes, lively politics with 92.7 WMDX.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison, helping people change their lives by improving their hearing. They offer fast and flexible appointments with individualized care. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com and take a free hearing test online. They help John Peterson, they help me, and they can help you too. Call them at 608-249-4077. Don't let hearing loss frustrate you anymore. Go to MadisonHearingAidCenter.com.
Craft cocktails, live events, a playground for the kids, and yes, self-serve, instant ramen bar, and drag bingo. It's all at Downdrin's Distilling in Cottage Grove. It's not your average tasting room. Pet-friendly, family-friendly, flavor-packed. Visit downdrins.com or stop by today.
This is Chad Spate. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the hatred and misinformation that consumes our world, but I also know that we cannot build a house of justice and inclusion on a foundation of hatred and lies. We have to practice what we preach. At Chad's Design Build, we confront injustice the same way we confront a poorly built home, with love, compassion, intelligence, and persistence. We engage our community the way we engage our clients, with honesty and humility and the dogged determination that we can do better. Chad's Design Build, remodeling done well with love.
Hey, Gordy. How you doing?
Oh, Arthur. Great. Great to see you. What are you doing in the studio?
Well, I need to talk to you about doing a commercial.
Okay. Well, you know, to get a commercial on the air here, you just go down to the sales department. It's right next to the bathroom.
I don't think you understand.
Oh, I understand plenty. You salespeople drink a lot of coffee. That's why the bathroom's right there.
Right. But I need to have you make a commercial about commercials.
Wait. A commercial about a commercial? I don't follow.
I want to tell potential business owners out there how to contact me to get a commercial on WMDX.
Okay, I get it. Okay, let's come up with something. Let's see, business folks can contact you directly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. What's the email, huh?
Okay, so it's sales@WMDXradio.com.
Oh, wait, run that by me again.
sales@WMDXradio.com. So we could put all that together and get into a commercial, get on the air soon?
Arthur, my friend, I think we just did.
Advertise on WMDX Radio. Email Arthur, sales@WMDXradio.com.
Now is the moment we've been waiting for. With new treatments emerging in the fight against Alzheimer's and all other dementia, now is the time for hope and for action. Held in over 600 communities nationwide, the Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's is the world's largest fundraiser for care, support, and research to fight the disease. So get out, get moving, and join WMDX at the Walk to End Alzheimer's on Sunday, October 5th at Warner Park in Madison. Join the movement at alz.org/walk.
This portion of John and Gordy is brought to you by Verlo Mattress East and West in Madison. There's a Labor Day sale going on through September. While supplies last, get a doorbuster queen-size mattress for $299 or a king-size for $399. Ask about their deals on adding foundation. Go to Verlo.com.
The Lakes, the Capitol, the UW, the radio station, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, John and Gordy.
We are here with Mike McCabe. Mike, you are appearing September 27th, I think, in Wanakee, if I can read my own handwriting here. What's that about?
Yeah, it's an author showcase. A bunch of authors will be there. People can meet and talk to authors and see their books and get their books if they wish. And
is that
it's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
At the library?
At the public library in Wanakee.
Very good. That's September 27th. Okay.
I want to thank Matt, by the way, for the text. He wrote a text about us winning the Best of Madison in Trump. In Trump style.
Yeah.
He wrote, we won Best Radio Show and we won very strongly. All others are weak and any criticism is a Democratic hoax. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. We'll be tweeting that out. Very good.
Thanks for providing our talking points.
Mm-hmm. And you have to stick to that even if news is bad on October 1st.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
We'll be asking
no
for a
what.
Recount immediately.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the other part. The other way the Democrats can fight back is by shutting down the government. And the reasons for that are articulated here by Ezra Klein, a great host. Used to fill in on MSNBC all the time. I really like him a lot. My kids don't like him because he's a supporter of Israel. But, yeah, anyway, Suffer through it, my guys. Okay? Okay. Here we go. This is Ezra Klein and what we should do about the government shutdown.
In about 3 weeks, the government's funding will run out. Democrats will face a choice. Join Republicans to fund a government that Trump is turning into a tool of authoritarian takeover and vengeance, or shut the government down. Democrats faced a version of this choice 6 months ago.
The chainsaw for bureaucracy.
We were in the full muzzle velocity stage of the presidency.
More mass firings in the U.S. government.
Froze federal funding on projects across the country.
He is taking retribution.
The law firms have to behave themselves.
Sweeping tariffs.
But why Canada?
And Democrats at that moment seemed completely overwhelmed and outmatched.
We will win.
I kept hearing people say they lacked a message, but that's not what they lacked. What they lacked was power. They didn't have power. They didn't have the House or the Senate, but they did have one sliver of leverage. In order to fund the government, Senate Republicans needed Democratic votes. Not just one or two votes. They needed at least seven Democrats to reach that magic 60-vote threshold in the Senate.
All eyes are on Democrats and what they'll do.
I'm not going to tell you I'm sure Democrats should shut down the government. I'm not. At the same time, joining Republicans to fund this government is worse than failing at opposition. That is complicity. Democratic leaders have had 6 months to come up with a plan. If there is a better plan than a shutdown, great. But if the plan is still nothing, act normal and hope for the best, then Democrats need new leaders.
There you go.
Okay. So, Ezra Klein.
Yes. You stand on something like that.
Your thoughts, Mike?
Democrats do need new leaders.
Yes.
We were just talking off the air about a post that I did about geriatric politics. And you look at 37 world democracies, and the U.S. has more elected officials over 60 than any of them. By a long shot.
By a long shot. Yeah, it's just outrageous. It really is. And that's why we are in this
so
place.
So there's lots of reasons why we need new leaders, just so that there's a little bit of new blood in the system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it sounded like Ezra is for a government shutdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're at a point where there's just nothing left, right? If we fund this government that Trump is putting in place, then we're complicit. We're just supporters of it, inadvertently, unwilling participants. But it seems like that would be the only way we can fight back. What do you think? Am I making my case to you, Mike? Am I changing your mind?
For government shutdown?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, hey, I'm not gonna. I'm not. I don't.
We're waiting for your decision.
I don't think I can make a better case to Democratic officials than Ezra Klein just did.
Yeah.
My focus has been more on talking to citizens rather than politicians, and what can citizens do in such a moment.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been writing about. He's right. The Democrats have not had a plan. They've just sort of stood idly by and watched and sort of helplessly as all this destruction goes on, they need to do something.
They need some new blood. I
think that's where the citizenry comes in is pushing this in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, Idea Fest is going on here in Madison, brought to us by the Cap Times. I know Stacey Abrams was speaking last night. They've got some thoughtful leaders and columnists and politicians, the Governor Pritzker and Governor Tim Walz.
You can hear that tonight, by the way.
Yeah, tonight and Friday night, Civic Media will have some coverage of that, and we'll be broadcasting that statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You wrote in your article on Substack that there's no shortage of alarm out there, right?
That's right.
And it's at a point where we might just burn this whole thing out and still not get anything done.
Yeah. But we need hope.
Yes. Well, and that, to me, that's the single most important thing that we can do, mm-hmm. is actively, consciously seek to cultivate hope, because that's the fuel that will enable us to have the stamina to endure in this fight.
And you point out in your Substack article, hope is different from optimism.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, but you can check that out on Substack. Mike, yeah. We're all out of time.
Actually,
right.
That's the answer. We don't have time for it, though. Okay. Damn.
Always good to see you. See you next Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up next, it's Stephanie Miller. Tomorrow, Tim Slecker talking about education from Busted Pencils. Also, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will join us. Find out what his thoughts are on the Supreme Court.
And, Barrett's new book.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's it for us. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. So long.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Top officials in NATO say it is the biggest violation of its airspace since the war in Ukraine began. Poland, a key NATO ally, shooting down Russian drones breaching its airspace, calling some of the drones a direct threat. Russia's defense ministry saying just now it did not target Poland. Emergency personnel in Qatar continue digging through the rubble of an Israeli attack on Hamas's political leaders in Doha, a move that has drawn widespread condemnation from several countries. Fed Governor Lisa Cook remains on the job despite President Trump's attempts to fire her.
A judge has temporarily blocked President Trump from firing Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook. The judge says Cook can keep doing her job as her lawsuit plays out in court, adding Trump has not given a legally permissible cause for her removal.
ABC's Perry Russum. An excerpt of Kamala Harris's new book, just published by The Atlantic, says in retrospect she thinks she should have fought harder to let President Biden make the decision on running for re-election. This is ABC News.